in chapter 18, I'm glad to be back in the saddle again. It is not that I haven't preached other places, but I haven't preached in my pulpit. So, amen. I'm glad that Brother Pastor Kamado is here. What a great preacher. Thank God for him. Good man. A preacher can do that when he has a man that he can trust with the Word of God. Amen. Tonight I'm going to talk about the political destruction of Babylon. Last time I talked to you on Revelation chapter 17, it was the destruction of religion. You remember the religious people, they had turned on the religious people, and now it's all government. And now Revelation chapter 18 talks about the destruction of that Babylon. Political Babylon is destroyed. I want to give you a little background. I know we've kind of been, through summer months, it's kind of difficult to keep going on having a contingency on it. So I'm just going to go give you a little bit of background on Revelation. The book of Revelation is called the Book of Blessing. Three places the Bible says He'll bless you if you read it, you hear it, and you keep it. The author, of course, is the Holy Spirit of God, written by the beloved Apostle John, written around 96 A.D. That's what they believe. That's when it was written. It's written from the Isle of Patmos. And it was written for the information, things to come. Things are going to come. And, of course, it was written to the seven churches of Asia Minor. I know there have been some pastors, friends of mine, that took a trip through the seven churches of Asia Minor. And I thought, boy, that would be a fun trip to go on, just to kind of go see those places where the Apostle Paul had churches started and how God had worked in those great places. Let me talk to you about the writer. Of course, the author is the Holy Spirit of God, but the writer is John. John is one of the 12 disciples, original 12 disciples. And he had a twin brother named James. And they were called, Jesus called them the sons of thunder. That's what I think they called us that this week while we were all down in that boat, amen. And every time somebody said, did you catch one? I said, oh, you'll know when I catch one, amen. I get tickled. I just get all giddy about catching a fish, amen. Both asked for the throne, but later in life received tribulation. James was martyred and John was exiled. John loved the Lord Jesus Christ very much, and in fact, the Lord called him the beloved disciple. He is told by Jesus to take care of Mary, mother. And he wrote five books of the Bible, St. John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. Make sure you don't put Revelations, don't put an S on that, it's a Revelation. John was exiled to Patmos by a Roman emperor, domination, and he has said that domination was the worst cold-blooded murderer you'd ever read in history. He was a rascal. He was just plain mean. The book of Revelation was written on the Isle of Patmos, a rocky and bleak piece of ground, 10 miles long and 6 miles wide. It was used by the Romans for a penal camp where prisoners labored in mines. John spent 18 lonely months in exile in the Isle for the Word of God and for the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes I'll pull over and park this minute. Sometimes we really complain. Sometimes we grab what we're going through in life. Sometimes God puts us in a place so that He can use us. And He takes us apart sometimes to get our attention. I know Brother Rudy took care of his dear wife, Mary, for 20 years. And June 1st this year, she passed. That was a long Isle of Patmos, brother. But God had some purpose in it. God has great purpose in it. I know that some of you that I talk about and ask prayer for you guys, the troubles that you've gone through. God has a purpose for that, and don't blow it. Don't blow it. I was reading over, I started a book about this journey that Marcia and I had. I don't know if I ever forget it. The name of the book is Where Is My Marcia? Has anybody seen my Marcia? And I wrote in it that I had left the hospital. Chad had started the service on Wednesday night. How many were there? And I walked in there, and I told you folks, I said, listen, I don't understand that. This has not, I wrote it down so I remember what it said. This did not surprise God, and I don't want to ruin this. And so let's just thank God, pray that God will help us through this. You said, you know why? No, I don't know why. I don't understand why. Brought back a lot of feelings today. We went to meet a new doctor. You know what it is to meet a new doctor. I met a guy named Michael Eisenhower. He's a heart doctor. He's a super guy. Man, what a nice guy. I had another one I was going to go to because my doctor had retired. And I wasn't sure what I was going to get into. But, man, I'm sure glad that we got a new doctor. Good guy. And so you would... opened up a whole bunch of wounds today as I was walking in there, and I was kind of, you know, but Marcia got up and hugged him. It's the cutest thing he ever said. Well, she said, yeah, I'll take a hug from you, young man. He looks like one of my nephews. When you read Revelation, you will see that John wrote, listen now, no complaints. I think that's, you ought to write that down. John wrote no complaints. He did not complain a bit about being on the Isle of Patmos. I wish we'd learn some of that stuff. I was with a fellow a while back, and I wanted to say, you're living and acting and thinking like an atheist. God is still under control. He still knows what's going on. Now back off, relax, enjoy the ride. Amen. John was not a learned man. If you go over in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, they talked about the disciples. They weren't learned men. But I will tell you one thing about this guy. He was fearless and faithful. He was fearless and faithful. He looked trouble straight in the eye. He just, I'm going through it. This is what God wants me to do. You know, when you know you're right with God, you're bold as a lion. Amen. That's what the proverb says. Amen. He wrote the Word of God without fear. And without favor. He named some things in those churches. Man, I'll tell you what, but he just put her right down, put the plow down, and he just kept plowing. Amen. He preached the Word of God without fear and favor. He would not, nor did he not trim his sails for anyone. That was John. It's a wonderful thing to have a trusted friend like that. You have one sitting with you tonight. He won't trim his sails. He just keep going. Amen. Daniel, who wrote Daniel, contained much of the prophecy like John said, five different ways. Both of them used the Holy Spirit of God to pen the prophetic books. Number two, both revealed the great plan of the ages. Number three, both have much to say about the coming Antichrist. And number four, both are exiled from their homeland where they wrote their book. And five, both took unflinching stands for the Word of God. Remember old Daniel? He wouldn't turn. He wouldn't turn. He just went as a four time, went and prayed three times a day. Amen. I thought of that. You think Daniel was a busy man? Well, the Bible said he was the president, one of the presidents. But he still found three times a day to pray. God have mercy on us. All right, let's look at the Revelation. The book of Revelation is the last book of the Bible. Number two, it is the most misunderstood book of the Bible. Number three, it is the most misinterpreted book of the Bible. And if you would take what these other scholars that believe the Word of God, there's only one way to interpret Revelation, that's literal. True biblical scholars tell us that 99% of the book of Revelation is taken literally. 1% is taken figuratively. If it states, and this is a thing you ought to write in the back of your Bible, if it states, was like, then take it was like. But if God said it was a horse, then it's a horse. If the beast, it's a beast. It's a locust, it means locust. The fire means fire. That's where some of these corrupted people try to get you to believe there's no hell. They're just soul sleep. You know, God said there's little hell. Number four, Revelation is the most hated book of the Bible. How about that? It's the most hated book of the Bible. It goes against man's sinfulness. It reveals his final eternity. It tells him the destruction of Satan. It tells the destruction of sin. It tells the destruction of sinners. They hate it. They hate the book of Revelation. Revelation is the most neglected book of the Bible. People shy away from it because they're afraid they can't understand it. You know what they say, uncertainty always paralyzes action. Revelation is the most blessed book of the Bible. No book in the Bible begins with a promise, if you read it, if you hear it, if you keep it, the things that are written. And he said, you'll be blessed. And he ends the book with a promise. What a great book. By the way, it was written to seven churches of Asia Minor. These churches weren't grounded, strong churches. They were young churches. And they were written to young Christians. So just enjoy it, amen. He said, well, I don't understand. Just read it. Because God said, if you read it, you'll get a... If you keep it, get a blessing, amen. And if you hear it, yeah, so I suspect every once in a while I just grab a book of Revelation. I start reading it, or I'll turn my... I have an app on my phone, just turn Alexander Scorby on and listen to Revelation, amen. It is called the Book of Promised Blessings. Here are some of the interesting comparisons of Genesis and Revelation. Genesis, creation of heaven and earth. Revelation, creation of new heaven and new earth. I'm looking for that one. A new heaven and a new earth. Brother Rudy and I were just at the Sialasan Lodge, and they had just built brand new, beautiful cabins that are floating on salt water. And they made them out of blue cedar. Have you ever heard of blue cedar, blue pine? Beautiful. Oh, my goodness. Brand new, spanking new, just beautiful. Boy, I like that. I was up to another fishing lodge a while back, and it was old. And if you, at the right time of the day, you can look right through the, wall. You can see outside, amen. So I like the new stuff, amen. Did you forget how to say that while I was gone? Are you fine? All right. Number two, Adam reigned on the earth. Revelation, the last Adam will reign in glory. Number three, night and sea created. In Revelation, no more night and no more sea. Thank God I won't get sick again. Amen. It would have felt better to die than when I went through that thing. Oh, man, that just makes... Oh, yeah. Number four. The bride was brought to Adam. In Revelation, the bride is prepared for Christ. Number five, the tree of life in Eden. The tree of life is a new creation. Sin brings death and a curse. In Revelation, no more curse. No more death. No more tears. I'm looking for that one. In the Garden of Eden, there was a conflict between Christ and Satan. Revelation, Satan has his final doom. He's over. He's done. And all God's people said. Amen. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 23 and 4:16, man driven from God's face in sin. Driven. But man's face, we will see him face to face in glory. Believers looking for a city by faith. And then we're going to see the holy city presented in glory. Number 10, where is the Lamb? In Revelation, the Lamb reigns forever. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, Satan utters the first lie. And number 11, Revelation, nothing that makes a lie enters the city. It's going to be a great place, amen? It's going to be a great place. Well, you see, Revelation is outlined God's program for human history. Someone said history is His story. The fully understood this great book, you must keep in mind there are threefold divisions in Revelation. Number one, chapter one talks about the past. These are things that happened in the past. Chapter two and three talks about the present. Talks about the seven churches Asia Minor and talks about what was going on then and going on. But then chapter 4:22, it's all future. never looks back. It's all future. Revelation centers around Christ. In chapter 1, he is the risen priest and king. Chapter 2 and 3, he examined the churches. Chapter 4 and 5, he received the title deed of creation. Chapter 6 through 19, he judges the world and returns in glory. Chapter 20 and 22, he reigns in glory and power for eternity. I want you to remember these things. Here's a couple things I want you to remember, okay? First of all, you must continue to refer to the Old Testament when you're studying the book of Revelation. Out of the 404 verses in Revelation, it contains 278 references of the Old Testament. Isn't that interesting? I just came across that fact. 404 verses of Revelation, chapter 1 through chapter 22. But out of those verses, 278 references to the Old Testament. So it's good to have your Bible back and forth and reading it. Amen. I also want you to remember there's 30 things that have their beginning in Genesis. And those 30 things have their beginning in Genesis, 30 things have their ending in Revelation. Okay, let's look at chapter 18. Let's stand and read God's Word tonight. I gave you a little bit of introduction. Chapter 18, if you can stand, that's great. If you can't, understand. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye may not be partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewardeth you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow gave her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore, shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning, famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in the one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linens and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory, all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors of ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all the things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee. and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off with the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing and saying, Alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls for 1 hour. So great riches come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the companies and ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, the great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, and all for 1 hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heavens, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath revenged you on her. And the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast in the sea, saying, Thus violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voices of harpers and musicians and of the pipers and of trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman, of whatsoever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegrooms and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For the merchants were the great men of the earth, for by the sorcerers were all nations deceived, and in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and all that were slain upon the earth. Father, I pray you bless the scriptures. Thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but that's quite a downer, you might call it. I want you to go, first of all, chapter 18 deals with the destruction of political Babylon. Political Babylon is union of nations in the earth under the Antichrist that is going to be marching on Palestine or Israel. They're coming. They talk about it right now. They're coming. They're going to take it over. And the religion of Babylon, which was the union of religious of the world, of course, we saw that being destroyed in chapter 17, political Babylon. Now, I want you, today I was reading a thing, and I just kind of set it aside after I read it. And then Rosie, I was sitting there in my office, and she said, Boy, Brother Shear, and she knew I was going to teach her. She said, I just read scriptures in Luke 21. I said, I just did too. And so I want you to look at it. Luke 21. And what did she say? Somebody said on the 21st was the eclipse. And on the 25th or 24th was, the hurricane. And so someone just happened to look at that and they said, well, look at this. And look at verse 21 and verse 25. And there shall be a sign in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. That's interesting, isn't it? Men's heart failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the power of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud and power, glory, great glory. I'm glad that that last verse is in there. Amen. So are we having any trouble in America? We started off really with the fires in Montana, which they really don't care about us. All they can care about is that water down in Texas. And that's been a terrible devastation. And now we got that new Irma coming in, and they got one coming right behind her. So a lot of things going on. A lot of crazy, crazy things going on. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. I'm glad the trumpet is going to sound. He's going to come and get me. That's what he says here. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Hallelujah. Amen. So chapter 18, 1 through 3, notice that Babylon has become the habitation of devils. And the full of foul spirit, hold of foul spirits and unclean things. When I was a little boy, they used to preach about the Roman Catholic Church, and these are the verses they used about it, because it talks about how that if you read the Trail of Blood, you ought to get that. Every Christian ought to have that. Read the Trail of Blood, and see how during the Dark Ages they killed and slaughtered many of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And unbelievable. So there's going to be foul spirits and unclean things. There are those that preach the world is going to get better. But they'll read that verse, amen. The world's not getting better. When I first became a chaplain up at the sheriff's office, our sheriff was Sheriff Castle. And a number of years ago, we were discussing current events, and he looked across his desk and says, "Chaplain," he says, "this has got to get better. Because there's some things they see that you'll never see." And I said, "Sheriff, it's not going to get better." He looked at me with face to turn away. He said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "Not going to get better. According to the Bible, it's going to get progressively worse and worse and worse and worse and worse." Have we seen that? Tell me some things that you would never believe 10 years ago that happened lately. What are some things? Talk to me. Yes. Profanity. You never heard of profanity like that. What else? Gay marriage. What else? Huh? Gender changing. Persecution of Christians. No. Anything else? How about the people that try to protect your lives? Peacekeepers. What about those policemen? They kill them. We had, I think, 2 killed this week already. Yes. What else? What else is going on in this world? Yes? Drugs. Yeah. Yes. Just disregard of other people's property. You know, disregard. Yes, ma'am. Removal of God in the school. Removal of prayer in school. Yes, ma'am. Eat them. No. People get so mad they kill people, just flat out kill them. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. No respect for authority. A lot of stuff going on in there. It used to be that when I was a boy that no one would ever mess with a cemetery. Now they tip over the gravestones. I remember you never would have touched a church. You never touch a church. You always had respect for the pastor. You never called him by his first name. You always called him by pastor or reverend or whatever. But shoot, now there's no respect at all. And if there's no respect at all, I was telling Rudy, when I was a kid, My dad was a very good friend of the sheriff, and his name was Ira Smith. Great, big, tall, lanky guy. Always wore a cowboy hat, but one of those hats like this, you know. And one day he pulled into our yard, and he said, "Hey, boy, how you doing?" He says, "My name is Ira." Put his hand out. Well, of course, I put my hand out. And my dad says, "Hey, son, that's not Ira. That's Sheriff Smith." And he gave the sheriff a dirty look. He said, "Man, I'm trying to teach that kid to be polite." And he said, "Okay, I'm sheriff." And they used to carry their badge behind their lapel. He goes, "You want to see my badge?" So, yeah. We've lost a lot of that. Well, the Word of God commands to His people in verses 4 to 5. He says, come out from among them. Come out of Babylon. Get away from it. That means we're not have part of the world. We're just be separated. We see that today, a really amalgamating process of churches getting together that never would have came together before. Now they're coming yet. I've heard of a big push now, the Roman Catholic Church trying to really become very good friends with the Pentecostals, become very good friends with the churches, and they have lightened up their stand that on certain things, the issues they used to have. It's happening, folks. I'm telling you what, Jesus is coming back. He just said, figure it out, amen. The Bible said we're to live separately. It doesn't mean that we're going to be huge because we live separately, because there's a lot of people don't want to be that. They don't want that separatist business. But God says, come out from among them. Stay away from the worldly thing. Ladies, don't dress worldly. Men, don't dress worldly. You know, don't demoralize yourself. Amen. There's a lot of false doctrine being taught today. You can hear it all the time. People say, well, that's the way they used to say, but I think there's a different way of interpretation of that. Hey, what does the Word of God say? Thus saith the Lord God. Amen. Let's go down to verses 9 to 10. Politicians shall weep with the fall of the political Babylon. They have invested their lives in politics and government, and now Babylon destroyed. Hey, tell me that we don't have people that are embedded in our government today. They're embedded. You can't get rid of them. My daddy used to tell me, he was a politician, he said, son, he said, it's not the people that get elected to office. It's those embedded bureaucrats. And we saw it in the last presidential election when President Trump came in. He's still having a hard time getting rid of some of those rogues in there. Still having trouble. And they're fighting him all the way. My dad said, it's not a politician, son. It's the embedded bureaucrats that stay and hang on. That's easy living for them. That's good money for them, even. They live like kings. They live like kings. Businessmen shall weep over Babylon. Those who have wrapped their lives around business and will find their businesses gone. Stores will be closed and business will fail in that great hour. By the way, it won't be very long. It's all over then. Amen. Amen. So just keep reading the book. Amen. Revelation chapter 17, chapter 18, verse 17 to 19, talks about commerce and travel will fail. Commerce and travel will fail. It's interesting how this Brother Rudy, we're up in Alaska, and he was going to fly through Houston to get home tomorrow. Well, thank God Marcy took care of that. Got him out of there, amen. There's a lot of travels. Travel really screwed up right now. I tried to get on the phone. I was taking care of some business with Delta, and they said it'll be 3 hours before we get back. So I get done with this sermon, amen, before it's over, amen. Revelation chapter 17, chapter 18, verse 17, 19, commerce and travel will fail. And then look at verse 20. Pleasure and amusement shall fail. Rudy and I were up in Ketchikan, Alaska, and guess what we saw up there? Disney World! Great, big, huge boat. What was it? Ship! Huge! There's old Mickey on the side. And they said that they brought, those boats bring into Ketchikan, what did they say, 11,000 people at a time? Just bring them in. 11,000, and those places just loaded with stuff. He said, what'd you buy? Nothing. Didn't buy nothing. Rudy had to buy some hats for his kids, amen. But that's about it, amen. Pleasure and music cease. In other words, Jesus will destroy the political union of this world, the established rule of righteousness. Let those beware who invest their lives in this world. Life invested in the world shall be wasted. The life invested in Jesus will someday rule the world. Boy, sobering, isn't it? It's really sobering. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord Jesus, as we look.